Welcome to Run 12-1 Podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Justin Goins. Well, thank you for joining in for another episode of Run 12-1 Podcast. This is your host, Pastor Justin Goins. Hey, just want to thank you for taking time, and especially this week. This week, as I'm recording it, it's actually on Wednesday leading up to Resurrection Sunday, or aka Easter, as some like to call it. Resurrection Sunday, man, this stands, I believe. Yes, Jesus being born is vital, right? You can't have a resurrection without him being born, and also his death and his living sinless. All this is absolutely a part of the gospel. But I believe at the end, there's multiple different occasions within the time frame of Jesus's ministry that's recorded, his 3.5 years of ministry. There's multiple times to which him being God in the flesh spoke about his resurrection. So if indeed he did not raise from the grave, as Paul would write to the church of Corinth, 1 Corinthians 15, then our preaching is in vain, Paul says, our faith is in vain, and we are yet still in our sins. Now, he didn't say if Christ didn't die. He didn't say if Christ didn't live. He said if Christ didn't raise from the grave. Raising from the grave was the one sign to which Jesus did give, even though he said a corrupt, basically, in Matthew's gospel, a corrupt generation seeks a sign. But here's your sign. Just like the prophet Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the whale, it literally says that, at least in the King James Version, the Son of Man shall be 3 days and 3 nights in the belly of the earth. Now, at the moment in time, they were all confused at what that means. But standing on this side of the resurrection, we know exactly what he was referring to. He was referring to the very fact he would die, and then 3 days later, he would raise from the grave. And that was a sign. He explained this multiple times to his disciples as well. So if indeed the tomb is full, then Jesus was fake. But if the tomb is empty, then he is exclusive Jesus, meaning he is the only way to salvation. And my friend, one only need gander at the tomb for just but a moment to notice it is empty. Jesus rose out of the grave. And so what a victorious week this is leading up to that in remembrance of it, about a little bit over some 2,000 years ago when this actually occurred. Yes, we should. There's many hardcore extremists out there that downplay this week because they're like every week, every day should be focused on it. And I believe that 100% absolutely. But especially when it comes the time around the year to which we know around when it happened, we should also look into it even the more. But with that said, we're going to finish Acts chapter number 12 verses 20 through 23. This is a recording of King Herod. Herod dying. We believe the same Herod that was alive, putting Jesus, around the same time with Jesus. Herod Antipas. There's different Herods in Scripture around the time of Jesus. But this same Herod was most likely and definitely alive during Jesus' time. And it comes up with, and it says, Herod was highly displeased. This is verse 20. With them of Tyre and Sidon, but they came with one accord to him, and having made Blastus the king's chamberlain their friend, desired peace, because their country was nourished by the king's country. So, they're making a peace treaty. He's like, we may not like you, but we need your help, because we're you're helping us to live, basically. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, so purples and all decadent of stones and gold and all this stuff, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. So he gives a speech, and the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. The word of God grew and multiplied, and then it ends with Barnabas and Saul returning from Jerusalem, which is the recording of when this happened in Acts chapter number 11. We've already been over that, the record being of them going to Antioch for about 2 years, membering themselves together. We've already looked at that. You may want to go back to that chapter or that episode when I handled that. But really the question that we want to look at today in just finishing chapter 12 of Acts is what we just read, Herod, after giving a speech dressed in kingly royal attire, being praised as God, as a God, a voice of a God, is that really worthy of what happens to him? And I would say absolutely yes. And again, I think I touched on this some episodes ago, but we have a very men, me, human-centric mindset of sin. We look at it from a, gosh, Lord, don't you think that's kind of harsh? Because we come from a tainted, sinful flesh mindset and eyesight. And so unless you're standing, and you can't, on God's side in the mindset of perfect, holy, righteous, without sin, glorified body, and looking at sin, we tend to still carry some type of me-centric, human-centric view of it to say, man, that's kind of harsh. But to a holy, righteous, and perfect God, it is the due consequence. Yes, God is jealous for his glory, his honor. Why? He is God. He is creator of the universe. Worthy of all praise, worthy of only all praise, worthy of all glory and honor due his name. In fact, I would say that in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 11 and Colossians chapter, these are some good verses to put to memory, or at least remember where they're at. Romans chapter 11, verse 36, right before Paul kind of ends the book or the first half of Romans 1 from verse 16, where he says, "For I'm not ashamed the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation of the Jew first and also to the Greek." It moves on from verse that all the way to the end of this chapter 11, really verse 24, chapter 11, dealing with doctrine. Verse 25 through 36 is kind of a doxology. Then it gets in verse 36, it says, "For of him and through him and to him," talking about God, "are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen." That leaves no room. The Bible leaves no room for worship to anybody else. Now, this does step on toes to other religions who think they can worship past saints, honor such as Mary, worship and give honor and praise to these individuals, where the Bible knows, God himself knows nothing about that. There's not a single word in Scripture given where anybody else is worthy of praise and honor. All should be given and directed to only God. So that's Romans chapter 11, but also in Colossians chapter number one, verse 16, it also pays mind to this, but he adds a little bit more, Paul does. He says, "For by him," meaning Christ, "were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether it be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." Meaning everything is due to God's glory, for God's glory, kind of piggybacking off of Romans chapter 11, 36, giving a little bit more context to the church at Colossae. Plus, they were dealing with their own problems there within the church with Gnosticism and angel, you know, worshiping of angels and what have you. But in verse 36 of chapter 11, Romans, "For of him and through him and to him are all things, to whom be the glory forever." So everything is due to God for his glory, for his honor and praise. And so back to chapter 12 of this chapter, when we look at this and say, man, you know, Is that a due punishment? Absolutely. Why? Because God is only worthy of all praise. He is the only one worthy of praise. I mean, when you sit back and think of it, nobody's, even on somebody's best day, they're not really honored or really truly worthy of all honor and all praise. There is one worthy of all honor and all praise, and that is God. And so this record of Herod being immediately eaten of worms and giving up the ghost is yes, kind of grotesque, but he is giving an oration. He is giving a speech and standing up, and he is absorbing. Once he's done, he absorbs the praise and worship and honor due to him. He doesn't say, wait, no, don't do that to me. Don't worship me. He stands up and it's like, yeah, that's right. I am have a voice of a God. I am worthy of this praise. He absorbed it to himself. Should have been a mirror. Like Paul in 1 Corinthians, where he says, "But by the grace of God, I am who I am, but his grace that was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." 2 Corinthians, chapter 5:10. "But by the grace of God, I am what I am." Paul didn't sit back when people praised him and said, "Oh, look at your apostleship, look at what you've done." Paul didn't say, yeah, you're right, let me absorb it. He said, no, he was a mirror. Took his mirror basically and said, "I want to reflect all your praise isn't to me, it's to God, and reflect it. But by the grace of God, I am what I am." He's not saying, "But by all of my achievements, I am what I am." He said, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. In his grace," God's grace, not mine, but God's grace, "which was bestowed upon me was not in vain. I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me." And actually, I should find that reference for you, because I believe that to be a really good reference. And that is sitting in 2 Corinthians, let me look, chapter 5, I believe. Chapter 5, uh, no, I'm mistaken here. Sorry. 2 Corinthians. Give me 1 second here. I'll find it. Mind blank. Maybe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It's probably 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Where Paul gives his apostleship. Man, now I am all over this place. Trying to find out where Paul is writing it at. I'll have to drop it on the page for us when I find it, because I don't want to take up too much time. And your brain, when you don't have things set in stone. Yeah, I was right. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, when I said it the first time, verse 10, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which is with me. Paul is talking about his apostleship there. And so being able to reflect properly the honor and glory, not absorbing it upon you. Nobody is worthy to absorb the honor and praise as if they are, he or she is of God's standard whatsoever. In fact, interesting fact on this, according to Josephus, a non-Christian Jewish historian, says that Herod suffered in his history, which is well-known history and really accurate history, said that Herod suffered for 5 days before he actually died. So 5 days of being eaten up by worms, basically almost a full week before he was eaten up of worms, as he was eating up worms before he died. And then it said after this, interesting, but the word of God in verse 24, after it talked, I mean, it is night and day. Verse 23 is morbid, gross, you know, man dying because of worms. And then verse 24, but, you know, you have people around trying to get honor and worthiness of God and everything. And then verse 24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. God, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not. They won't prevail against it. Many will try to get my glory. They're not even going to be worthy of it, but they're going to try. But my church, my word will endure forever. And that's exactly what he does here. So please, 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 next time. And I try to do this as often as I can as a pastor, as an evangelist as well. And it's one of my gifts as an evangelist, is not try to take the glory of any of it. And try to, once people say, oh, that was a great sermon, give God the glory. Why? Because if it was me, it would not have been a great sermon. And so I pray that when somebody tries, or maybe they don't even mean to, but they're just trying to give you worthiness of honor and praise, give the glory to God. Don't soak it up. Because any good that does come out of you, if you're a Christian, is but yet Christ, his goodness, his righteousness shining through you. It ain't really yours. That's what Satan fell from heaven because of. He was reflecting the glory and the light of Christ. And he looked at himself thinking it was him, but he was just, the goodness that was shining off of him was Christ, but he thought it was him. Wanted to be like Christ, wanted to be in that standard, and he sinned. So God bless. I hope this is understanding to you. Give glory to God. 1 Corinthians 15:10. This is Pastor Justin Goins with Run 12-1 Podcast. God bless. Thanks for taking the time to listen to Run 12-1 Podcast. Run your marathon race that God has placed you in. God bless.